The only thing I could remember was they said Jesus all the time. All the time they're talking about this Jesus. And that was a huge part in breaking the generational cycle, is developing a faith and learning that God wants to redeem my story, and that there's no such thing as being too broken or too far or too gone for him.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, More Than Small Talk friends. We're glad you're with us today, and we have another special guest for you too. So Suze, tell us about who is with us.
I'm excited about today. I really am. I want to welcome Kristen Hellinan. She is passionate about helping women redeem the pain of their past and move toward a healthier or more hopeful future. And her mission is to equip women and support families. She previously worked as director of development for MOPS International. She enjoys working with teen moms, crisis pregnancy centers, and serving as a premarital mentor with her husband, Sean, in Dallas, Texas, where they live with their four children. And she has written a fascinating book called Legacy Changer. Welcome, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So we're just going to jump right in. I think, Kristen, you and I and Jennifer, we share kind of a similar past. And I have also written, and I remember when I was writing my book about this, it was hard. It was really, really hard. And I remember saying to someone at one time, this feels like giving birth to barbed wire. And that sounds awful. But having to go back to the past as a healed woman and unearthing and talking through those things was hard, but also freeing. So can you share a little bit about your process, why you wrote this book, and who it's for?
Yeah, absolutely. I can so relate. I think your description is spot on of what it felt like to write it, but also so good and so freeing. And I feel like without it, it would be impossible to see all the ways that God has truly protected me and been with me. If not for diving back into all that pain, he has been there all along. And so I started my healing journey years ago, and it took me a really long time to find the right counselors and do enough research and figure out what is trauma and do I need trauma therapy and get mentors in my life for somebody to speak truth and encouragement into me. And I just wanted women to have access to that information, not only like what is happening in our brain and our body when pain occurs, but then like, what does the Bible have to say about it? And I want both those truths in one place. So that's how the book came about.
Awesome. Yeah.
So what were some of your biggest aha moments as you wrote this and went on your own healing journey?
Yeah, one of them was how much my voice had been quieted growing up, and how really uncomfortable it was for me to stand in the truth that I can use my own voice and my voice is valuable and it should be heard. And so that was really big aha moment for me in just the understanding that God values my voice and he wants to use my voice. And so just understanding and learning that was a really big thing. And that's also been a big thing that I've been working on with my kiddos and figuring out, you know, I wasn't taught how to use my voice, but how do I teach them that their voice is valuable? And how do I parent in a way that they feel like their voice is heard and not just obey because I told you to? So yeah, I think that has been one of the biggest shifts for me, but also learning some skills like boundaries and that it's okay to protect myself. At first, boundaries felt like a wall that I was putting up between me and other people. And that felt like a mean thing to do or, you know, an overly aggressive thing to do. But when I learned that it was really just a bubble of protection for myself and not really a wall that I was putting up for other people, because, you know, we can't control other people anyways. We can only control ourselves. That was another big aha moment.
Yeah. Something that I'm really passionate about is breaking generational cycles. And you talk about that a lot in your book. And that's such a hard and broad topic. Like, how did you dive into this? And tell us a little bit about your personal experience with breaking generational cycles.
Yeah. So my home was chaotic and dysfunctional growing up. But I think, like so many of us that grew up in an environment like that, I didn't really have any idea how unhealthy my house was until I got older and exposed to other people's homes. It was in seventh grade, I started spending the night at somebody else's house, and their family just felt so different. And her dad was a pastor of a local church he was planting. And so I'd go on Sunday mornings and help them set up chairs, and I'd listen to the sermon and just had no idea what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. But I did know that I felt so different in their house. And that was the first time Jesus really started to plant in my heart, so that years later, when I was like, my life is out of control, what am I going to do about it? I took myself to church because I remembered that something was different about that family. And the only thing I could remember was they said Jesus all the time they're talking about this Jesus. And that was a huge part in breaking the generational cycle, is developing a faith and learning that God wants to redeem my story, and that there's no such thing as being too broken or too far or too gone for him. Because, you know, looking around in my life, if I'm looking for affirmation for people around me, then the world's going to tell me that I'm too broken and I'm too far and I'm too gone. But hearing that message for the first time was super powerful. And then it just came in baby steps of healing and me learning to use my voice, me learning to say, hey, I'm going to make sure my family is protected from the things that I grew up in. And that all culminated in about 5 years ago. My mom had to move in with us because she had nowhere else to go. And her living with us just magnified the already really unhealthy relationship that was there. And I was walking into her room morning after morning, picking her up off the floor. And she was still in yesterday's clothes. She was in a piled heap on the floor, and there were pills scattered all over the bed and all over the floor. And I was so terrified. Like, what if it was my 18-month-old to walk in here instead of me? And it just kind of slapped me in the face with the realization that all these things that I said that they would never be in my house, this would never be my kid's story, I was inviting into my home, and I was allowing it in to affect their story. And so I asked her to leave, knowing that she had nowhere to go. And it was
so hard.
The most gut-wrenching decision I've ever made, but also the most right decision I've ever made, because it gave me the space to really start taking healing seriously.
Yeah. I think this is the tension, Kristen, is that a lot of people say that when you address this, that somehow you're betraying this person that you love, but that you've also promised yourself, I am not going to allow my children to go through this. I can so resonate with this. So how do you address the person who's really struggling, who says, I am going in, and whether it's in my own bedroom, my own house, my own life, or whatever, I'm continually, because I won't put up any boundaries, I'm continually having to deal with this as if I were a kid, but my own children are now doing this too. But I feel conflicted because I feel like if I don't, somehow that's not showing love. What would you say to that person?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think so many people stand in that tension. And I think when we can stand in the space between, I love my family and I want to honor where I came from, and then also, my parents did things that didn't serve me well.
Yeah.
And I want to do those things differently. And those two things can be true at the same time. And I think, especially in the church, we have this convoluted vision of what love looks like, that love somehow must mean to be meek all the time, to back down, to not stand up, and if anything could possibly look like conflict. But that's not the love that Jesus modeled at all. He was willing time and time again to call out in a kind and loving way that gave dignity to the human, but also to call out the sin in them and say, this is like a little check engine light. If you keep going this way, you are going to end up in a wreck. And so you need to stop and figure out what the problem is and root it out. And then keep going. It's in his kindness. He wants us to stop hurting ourselves and allowing pain in our life, and which is totally different than shame, because guilt says what you did was wrong, but shame says you are wrong. Mm-hmm. And that is never a message that Jesus is sending us. He loves us and values us, and he just wants to get us on back on the right track.
Yeah. You know, Holly and Jennifer and I often talk about, we come from very different backgrounds. And so what would you say to the person who's, maybe they had a beautiful upbringing and they're saying, here I have, I'm married to someone who they didn't have that upbringing. And now I don't know how to support them. I don't know, as they're trying to be a legacy changer, how do I support this one I love who's having to do this hard work and hard battle?
Yeah, such a good question that I feel deeply, because that has been a tension in our house, because my husband didn't grow up with the same story. He had two married parents that for the most part had a really healthy marriage, and he just had a very different story. He grew up with faith. And so for the longest time, it was really hard for him to understand my story. But even harder for him to understand why sometimes my reaction seems so much bigger than like was appropriate for the situation. And yes. When he read, you probably are familiar with it, a book, The Body Keeps the Score. Mm-hmm. When he read that, and for, I think, especially for the very logical way his mind processes things, he was like, oh, like this is what's happening in your mind and your body, and could see. And so when my reaction sometimes, still, we're never fully healed, so we're still healing.
Yes.
So still when my reactions are bigger than maybe is appropriate for the situation, he can have a little bit more empathy and say, hey, I'm wondering if this is pushing on a pain point of something else. And you're not just mad that the kid lied, or, he was thoughtless and forgot something, or whatever it might be. So I think, as much as we can, explaining to them, like, these are my areas of deepest pain. And so when something seems to confirm the lie that's already going in my mind that I'm worthless, or I don't belong here, or my voice doesn't matter, when something seems to confirm that for me, probably is not intended that way, but just feels that way to me, I struggle with my reaction. Mm-hmm. And so if you can help me notice, Kristen, that.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's really helpful. And that's what I love about Legacy Changer. I feel like it absolutely is a book for all of us who want to change that legacy. But I also feel like it is a resource for the spouse of someone who is on the battlefield trying to do that, trying to be a pioneer and say it stops here. And it is a wonderful way for them to be able to also come alongside and understand what's going on and have some tools themselves.
Yeah. And what are some of the tools that helped you? You mentioned counseling, and we talk about counseling all the time on the show. So what else, if someone is listening and saying, I really want to be a legacy changer, like what tools do I need in my toolbox to go on this journey? What would you say to them?
Yeah. That is one thing that I wanted to do with Legacy Changer, was give really practical tools like, okay, yeah, I'm on board. I believe all of this, and I feel encouraged to head in the right direction, but like, what am I going to do? And so one of them is story work, diving into your story, because pain has such a good way of fogging our memories and making it really hard to sometimes A, remember what went on if there's a lot of dissociation and true trauma, or B, just piece it all together as one story that makes sense. So I did this with my counselor, but you can definitely do it without a counselor, lying out pages and pages and pages and making a big timeline. And on one side of the timeline, we're going to put all of our negative memories, all the things that feel painful when we remember them. And on the other side, we're going to put positive memories. And then we start to see patterns emerge. Like during that decade of my life, I see that person showing up over and over again in my painful memories. And I think that's when I started to believe that no one would ever be there for me. Or that's when I started to believe that my voice didn't matter. And so we can start to see these things. And then one of the really cool things that I mentioned in the beginning is that that's when I really saw how much God showed up in my life, because I was raised in an atheist home and I wasn't a believer till I took myself to church in college. And I could see over and over and over, when I didn't know the name of Jesus, I didn't know who Jesus was, I could see that he was still protecting me and he was shaping my story and leading me towards him this whole time. So I think that's one of the really valuable gifts in doing story work also. And then understanding some things like attachment, whether or not we've attached to our caregivers at a very young age makes a big difference for how we show up now. And are we overly anxious and needy and we need lots of validation and we're clingy? That would be like an anxious attachment. Or are we super avoidant and we hate vulnerability and our knee-jerk reaction is just to go inside ourselves? That would be avoidant. And whether or not you could count on your caregiver showing up for you, or they emotionally manipulated you, all those dynamics in childhood affect our relationships today. And so just gaining some understanding, I think, is a really valuable tool, because you can start to see those patterns show up and you're like, oh, I'm doing that again. And that's why I'm doing that. And bringing things like that to the light just kind of loosens their grip, loosens their power over you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Jennifer, okay. Did you have a question? Jump in.
Yeah, I would love to know, what surprised you? Was there one thing that, as you were writing this book, that jumped out and surprised you about yourself or how you process trauma, all of your story? I would love to know.
That's such a good question. No one has asked me that. I love it. Yeah, I would say the biggest surprise to me was I just kept having the nagging feeling showing up over and over again as I was writing that I needed to talk about both grief and celebration and how they can coexist. And I am terrible at both. And so, I kept feeling like God was like, you need to dive in there. And I was like, no, thank you. And did not want to do that, but eventually was obedient and included a chapter on that. I think King David, just over and over again, is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, because how he wore his emotions on his sleeve. I just love how relatable he is. And he did both grief and celebration really well. Psalm 13, he gives us a really great blueprint almost for how we can lament with God and how lamenting with God looks different than just grief of the world. And it's something, it's an active thing that we do with God. And it's something that we do with him over and over and over again. And so I really love that picture he paints. And then in 2 Samuel 6:22, he says, I'll get even more undignified than this. Yes. Talking about him celebrating in the streets. And he did not care who he looked goofy to or what other people thought of him just getting silly, crazy, celebrating with the Lord. And celebration always felt so shameful for me growing up. The picture of him just feeling so free with it has been a really freeing thing for me and a guide for me learning to celebrate with my family.
Oh, I love this so much. Well, I wish we had all day. This is a great resource, Legacy Changer. Heal from your past and create a stronger, healthier family. Become a legacy changer. And so Kristen, it's really important that they be able to find you, find this resource, this book. It's filled with not just spiritual and faith-filled, but also brain science and practical, which is really great. How can they find you? How can they find this book? We want to know all the things.
Oh, yeah. Instagram, Kristen.Hallinan. And that's H-A-L-L-I-N-A-N, a little bit of a goofy last name. And my website is the same, KristenHallinan.com. And the book is found wherever books are sold. And my new podcast, Up Until Now, dives deeper into all of the topics in Legacy Changer.
Okay, tell us about that real quick. We don't want to miss that.
Yeah. So Up Until Now is, I want women to know that no matter what they went through, or maybe the life that they are currently stuck in today, that's not a permanent seal on who they're becoming, because in Jesus, the best is always yet to come. So we are talking about all things getting freed and healed and marching towards holiness.
Okay.
So
what's it called?
Up Until Now.
Up until now. Okay. See, I just kept thinking that was like a transitional sentence. Up until now. All right. That's on me. Well, thank you for being with us. Thank you for what you're doing. And we love chatting with you today.
And Kristen, I just wanted to say it's beautiful to see the progression you've gone through. Like you said, you started feeling like I don't have a voice. And then you found your voice and learned you could advocate for yourself. And then now you're using your voice to advocate for others and to help them find their voice. And I think that is just a really powerful journey.
Yes.
And because you have walked that, I think people can trust that you can walk with them as they pursue that too. So well done for all that hard work. And using your voice, not only for your own healing, but for the healing of other hearts too.
Thank you.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.